That was a significant thing for me to do, because before that, if I did something that you didn't like, I had to do it behind your back, or I had to lie about having done it. And it was okay to just do it and say, we're doing it. We believe this is right and we're doing it. I was in Michigan a few weeks ago, and you know, I was talking to some friends about this letter that just came out, and at the time there was a certified letter for me at home, and I asked somebody to go pick it up as soon as I found out about this letter that was coming out asking people to cease and desist and all of this stuff and saying, are you involved? We know you're involved, and if you're involved, quit. And I just knew that's what my certified letter was. And how dare they send me one of those letters? How dare they? What did they need? A letter from my sponsor saying I was well or what? You know, I mean, how do you get on this list and who made up this NA shit list anyway, you know? And who told them to? I didn't tell them to. And somebody lost the little slip of paper and I was so indignant and I got home and they'd sent the letter back. And then I thought, well, maybe it wasn't that. And I like didn't know whether to be pissed off if I was left off the list or that I was on the list. So I decided that whether I was left off or on didn't matter. I was pissed off that there was a list. I still am not real happy about that. I was in California for the World Service Conference again when the text came out in hard copy, and finally we had a real book. We had a hardcover book and it was real, and there it was in two different colors, you know. One like this and one like this. It's really real. You know, if you have one, it's sort of real, and if you have two, it's really real. And I was so excited. We were going to go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting for the first time with these Narcotics Anonymous hardcover books. And it was like a milestone. It was wonderful. And we walked into that room, and there were AA 12 and 12s on the table, and these people got up and left when they saw us come in with the book. And I didn't understand. The white book didn't pass after I'd worked so hard on it. Ungrateful wretches that you were. And I was devastated. I took it real personally. There was also trouble with the magazine. A lot of fear. A lot of paranoia. A lot of fear. Took it real personally. And afterwards, I was real grateful that it didn't pass, that the white book didn't pass that year, because we didn't go far enough. We didn't edit the denial far enough out. I also didn't understand at that time why these people felt this way about this literature. Why it was so scary, the idea of having this denial edited out of our literature was so frightening to these people. And why they were so angry about this and about other things. And you know, after the book got changed the last time, and it got changed in ways that really hurt me, I had a little bit of empathy. I had a little bit of understanding for what happened that night. And I'm real grateful for that. I'm also real grateful for the fact that I can pick up my book today again and use it and feel less resentful. I'll get honest, feel less resentful. And somebody asked the question earlier, why is this happening? And, you know, I heard somebody answer, I don't know, and I heard somebody else answer about, it's us. You know, there were problems with Jimmy doing everything at the office. The fellowship gave him this stuff and said, here, do it. And we've been doing that again. We've been doing the same thing and expecting different results, and I don't think it'll work next time either. I hope we don't see. I was taught that everything in Narcotics Anonymous has to be inclusive. I was taught to look around in my local fellowship and look at who's not at our meetings and why are they not there and what do we need to do to get them there. I was taught that the more people that participated in our literature writing, the better the message would be. The closest thing to what I found with the NA Way for a while and with the H&I Handbook and with the other literature was the conference that we had in Chicago. It was close. It didn't quite make it. It wasn't like the real stuff, you know. But it felt real good. And I'd like to see that happen again. You know, you can say to people, if you want what I have, do what I do what I've done. And you folks can't do that. And I'm sorry that you can't do that. You can't get what I've got in the same way that I've gotten it. And I'm not okay with that. Somebody earlier was like real upset and looking at this whole weekend as being this enormous plot. And, you know, one of my girlfriends and I went to my room and we were talking about it, and we were talking about, well, I got what I came here for. You know, what I heard out of the meeting this morning was, go home and recommit to the basic things. Recommit to doing what you did. Recommit to sharing with newcomers. Get back on the phone line. You know, recommit. Do those things. That's what I came here looking for. What did you hear? What did you come here looking for? The things that I've learned through service, through going wherever I had to go to get more Narcotics Anonymous. It's like my whole life and thinking was centered in finding Narcotics Anonymous and getting more. Y'all have given me a life. Y'all have given me a husband to replace the other two that I had before. It's gotten better. When I went into treatment 12 years ago this weekend, and I didn't get clean for another couple months, but I went into treatment, and when I did that and when I got out, I left my husband in order to try to stay clean, and I left a stepson that I had literally lived for 2 years. My commitment to that child, I believe, kept me alive for those 2 years. And I had to leave him, and step-parents don't have any rights. And I knew that when I left, I would never see him again. And 4 years ago, he came back into my life, and I see him now once a year. He lives in Texas, and I live in Virginia, and we meet in Michigan once a year. And he wants me in his life. First time I saw him, it was like I was expecting him to stand up, and he just kept standing up, and he's 6'3" now. He wants me in his life. My ex-husband is my friend today. My in-laws and my mother and I and my ex-husband and my stepson got together and had dinner when I was home in Michigan. And my husband, my current husband, calling my current husband to keep him on his toes,
oh,
my totally insignificant other, and don't you forget it. He likes to get honorable mention. It's like, he'll treat me better for the next week. Yeah, she mentioned my name, Kermit. Oh. Okay. My current husband was not only okay with that, he was excited about that because he knows what that meant to me. I found him through Narcotics Anonymous. I learned how to not accept anything less than I deserve through Narcotics Anonymous, through you people telling me you're okay, and it's not okay to accept less than what you deserve. I had some real mixed feelings about sharing here this weekend. It was like, yeah, they want me to share at a convention. That's really neat. They want me to share at a history convention. Do you want me to share at a history convention? Does that, like, make me old? I'll just hobble on down there and tell them, oh, way back in the old days, in the good old days when I walked 285 miles to a meeting in the snow. I was grateful to do it. And, you know, I was like going back and forth about this age thing. I'm going to be 40 in a few months. And, I'm living to the age of 40. It's a miracle. It's much better than the alternative, you know. But I hadn't gotten to that point yet. And it was like, oh, I'm going to be 40 and I see these lines and, you know, my teeth come out at night to be cleaned and, oh, geez. And there's this guy that my husband sponsors that lives in a prison right now. And he calls on a regular basis. And when my husband sponsors somebody, it usually means I talk to him a lot. For two reasons. One, because he's not there a lot. And two, because you know how we have the knack of calling when we know our sponsor's not there? And Joe called, and you know I was talking with him about this stuff and telling him, and he was quiet for a minute, and he said, well, Carol, the way I see it is like, and I've never met this man face to face, but he's become a dear and valued friend. He said, Carol, the way I see it, it's like the difference between Ripple and Lafitte Rothschild. He said, look at it this way. Today, you're just not Ripple. You're just not Mad Dog. You're the good stuff. And you've given me that, and I thank you.